ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 महर्षि These announcements, maybe make at the end or now?
Probably.
Because, you know, maybe more and more will come.
Yeah, I'll come. I think it's probably better to make them a little after.
Okay.
You know, let's see when we get everybody. So basically we see that the first chapter has three main aspects to gain. One is what is given in the invocation. The second is the qualities of one to understand the Bhagavatam. The third are the six questions. Right? So in the invocation, that then will establish what the book is about, who is the proper audience, and what you will gain from studying it. Does that make sense? The subject matter, what you will gain from studying that subject matter, and who is qualified to study that subject matter. Okay? And as a Mangalacharan, there's always obeisances to the deity. So in the first verse, we see Krishna is established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, second verse, we see, so it's topics about Krishna. Now the methods in the second is given that it is for establishing a religion that's free from anything that's mundane. All mundane aspects are removed. Right? So it's only pure transcendental religion. Right? Third aspect is that by doing this, one will taste that nectar of transcendence. That's given that one can taste rasa. That's what you'll gain from it. So the Bhagavatam is about Krishna. From the angle of pure devotional service, what you will gain from it is the nectar of pure devotional service. And those who are qualified are those who are serious about studying about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's your invocation. So that basis establishes what the whole Bhagavatam. So the rest of the Bhagavatam one has to look at from that angle. So even if you see areas in there where it may be talking about aspects of material life or family life or seemingly karma fruitive activities, it's not like other literatures where it's recommending that viewpoint. It's giving that activities that are generally categorized in this area can be used in Krishna's service. Right? This will come up when we get to the second chapter. That makes some sense? Like that. So we should always keep in mind that this is the Bhagavatam is for serious students who are interested in spiritual life. The goal is developing love for Krishna and tasting that exchange between Krishna and the devotees. And the subject matter is Krishna himself and the process, the devotees and the process by which Krishna interacts and they exchange with each other. Okay, is that clear? So that's the invocation. Then we have the qualifications, because we'll notice that there's an overlap in these between the various points, but the angle is slightly different. That's the meaning of vichar. Vichar means you study something from various angles. The same point, but from some different angles. Then you start to understand, you know, what it is. How it works. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, like you have a pot. Okay, you can look at it. It's a pot. Okay, so it's used for cooking. So you've categorized it. But now, what kind of cooking, a specific pot does a specific work. Then you also have to, clean it. And that, so then that also depends what kind of pot it is. Right? So by studying from different angles, you're still studying the pot. But it appears that it's the same thing, but actually is different. Does that make sense? Like that. So like that. So in the first one, it means in 1.2, then we see that the whole point is hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam. Now it makes a point is that you should hear from bona fide sources, but that's the second point. The second point is only by hearing from a bona fide source is it useful. But because it's such an important point, it's also mentioned in the first. Right? Does everybody have these handouts? We got some don't have? You're handing out the new ones? Anyone has the old ones? You're giving these also to whoever has the old ones? How many of these do you
have? These are handouts for the first three chapters.
I have 10 copies.
Oh, I thought you said you made 30.
I made 15 plus 10.
Okay, so I mean the new ones have been given, or are these only these ones?
These are new ones.
Okay, so whoever doesn't have, then you give now, mm-hmm. And then you should also make more so that those who have can get the corrected copy.
So maybe they can raise hand.
Yeah, raise hand, and then who didn't get, and then those who already got, we'll give them out. You get more of them, and we can give them out.
This is for the first three chapters.
Yes. Okay. Because the others only have the first two, so we can give them that tomorrow. You know, try to get them. We can get them. That was the original 12.
By the way, we reprinted with the corrections. You know, we handed you those with a little scribbled in red pen. But we corrected them now. Now they're nicely printed out, as they should be.
Okay, so in 1.2, then we see is that the first point is that one should always be hearing the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord patiently and submissively. That's the mood. And by doing that, it will reestablish your relationship with God. So that's its purpose. So the point is one should always be, the qualification is one who one should hear that, that's one's duty, but it's patiently and submissively. Because it takes time. It's like drop by drop, the water will wear away the stone. So we get the knowledge, the first day we heard we're not this body, and still after 20, 30 years, we're still dealing with it and applying it more and more into our life. Right? So that's the whole importance of looking at it from different angles. Because one angle, the mind tends to get bored. So you give different angles, the mind thinks it's something new, though it's the same thing. Right? Like that. And here, all other goals other than reestablishing your relationship with Krishna are thrown out. Right? So hearing it, hearing means you must hear the subject matter of the Lord, then it should be done patiently and submissively. It will, its purpose, it will reestablish your relationship. And any goal other than this should be removed. So that's the qualification. Hearing, patient, submission, and having no other goal than developing love for Krishna. Yes, sir.
Does patiently hearing will immediately reestablish?
Does it? Ah, yes. Patiently submissive? Yes. If it's actually patient and submissive. So it takes practice to become patient and submissive.
But once it's patient, then you'll be immediately reestablished.
Basically. Because here...
Just like Aikido, with ki. You were telling me yesterday. Remember what you were telling me?
Day before.
You can't...
That's the whole thing. As soon as the one...
conjure it up, but you have to just do the practice and it gradually manifests.
Yeah. Because if all other goals are rejected, then one does become completely patient, submissive. But one may be patient, means you have the quality of the mundane quality of patience. One may be born with it, one may develop it, one may not have it. But by that one, that's one, that's cultured. But here means the patient, the heart has no other need than hearing about the Lord. So all other goals other than being absorbed in Krishna, when they're removed, then one actually is patient and submissive. Because submissive, we're completely submissive to the Lord, Him being God and us being His servant, and everything being done to please Him. So the main principle of it, you'll see, is that even in the beginning, because as pointed out by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that you have these stages of Bhava Bhakti. The first three stages span actually from when you first come in contact with Krishna consciousness up to Bhava. They find their perfection in Bhava. Then once those are established, then when they attain their perfection, then it turns into the pure form of Bhava. Like that. And then from there it carries on what's not. So, just like the first one is Shravandasa. I mean, Shravandasa means you hear that I am related to Krishna. I am servant of Krishna. So that we hear from the beginning. That's just straight philosophy. Ultimately, that matures into what is our actual original relationship, eternal relationship with Krishna in his pastimes. But it starts from, I am servant of Krishna. And then by slowly, gradually, the process, then we'll get to that stage. So the patient submission that we can attain immediately when we find that hearing about the Lord's qualities and pastimes is important. Then we'll have, you know, some patience, whatever we have, 45 minutes, half an hour. We can't 24 hours, but it's, you know, like that. And submission is that Krishna's God and I'm his servant, and so this is the process to get this, so there'll be some. So immediately from the beginning, even the newest person can develop the basis of it, that they're starting to reestablish their relationship with Krishna. Because their eternal relationship is servant. Then specifically what they are in the pastimes, that will come as that patience and submission and all of the goals, endeavor is perfected. Does that make sense? That's the beauty of the devotional process, is immediately you can get results. Like that. You'll find that any process that's more developed, one of its symptoms is results are coming earlier, because you're getting down to the essence. Does that make sense? Something's more complex than until it's very developed or finished, then you don't have it. But the spiritual is so perfect that it starts acting even if just the basic fundamental concept is understood. Is that okay? Like that. So we are, it means everyone's here because they have reestablished their relationship with Krishna as a servant. That's why they're here. But perfecting that is, I know that I'm this person in the pastime, and this is my service, and this is what I look like, and that'll take time. You know. Is that okay? Like that. Is that on this point?
Yeah, it's okay. The same with the points mentioned, like nectar devotion, clap your hands when your headlines are wiped out.
It's the same thing is that, you could hear? Means you clap the hand because you're doing it as service to Krishna. So that removes, because like if you have, if the example is given, if you have birds in a tree and you clap your hands, then they get scared and go away. So as to clap the hands in kirtan for Krishna, it scares away the sinful things. And it also scares away the pious. Because both keep you in the material world. That'll come up in the second chapter. That's a very important element. So that will start to take away. But these lines in our hands are there. Basically, they're not there just from what you did last life. Last life is a continuation of what you've done before. Just like the Brahma Samhita mentions that for millions of lifetimes, the yogis can drool the respiration and still not see the glimmer on the shine of Krishna's toenail. So that means you'll get on the path of yoga for millions of lifetimes. Before that, you'll have been on the path of jnana for millions of lives. Before that, on the path of karma. So in a devotee's life, we're used to things moving very fast. That's only because we're in touch with the devotional process. You look at a karmi, what he was 20 years ago and what he is today, basically the same. A little more understanding, a little bit more frustration, or a little bit more wisdom. But basically, no change. And he'll die like that. Next life will carry on where he left off. So it's very, very, very slow. Like that. Does that make sense? Because you're in the material world a long time, so you can't get bored. If you had a universe full of unlimited bored souls, it would be a big problem. You see, a kid gets bored, they just make trouble. So you have to have something to keep everyone busy, otherwise it can't be progressive. Does that make sense? Like that. So you clap your hands, and a little bit goes, but it's very fine. And if it's very intense, the more you change. The more it changes, like that. So, but that's not the point. We're not clapping our hands to change the lines. It's just pointing out that that happens. So people are so worried about the planets, this, that. It's changing as you're doing devotional service, the effect of it. Like you take Saturn. It can give you more than any planet. It can take away more than any planet. Right? It can give you more trouble than Rahu, and it can give you more than, you know, Moon or Sun, all these others. So if the mentality is bad, he takes away. If the mentality is good, he gives. But it's the same planet doing the work. So that's not going to change. But your results of it and how you deal with it, I get bad, I'm fine. I get good, I still remember Krishna. Right? But otherwise you get bad, you get upset, blame the world, become bitter. I get good, I completely forget about God and think that I'm God and everything's great. You know what I'm saying? So what changes is how you deal with it. Like that. That's the main thing. You know, other things are secondary. Okay. So then, that's the first. Second is that, very emphatically, you must hear from the bona fide representative of Vyas. Oh, you got one? You have the papers? The Mataji in the back? She needs. Okay. So that's the second point, is that you get hearing about the name, form, qualities, pastime, it only should be heard from someone who's in a bona fide line. Otherwise, what you're getting is not the real thing. The form will look like it, but it doesn't have the potency. Because when you speak, it's still mundane tongue vibrating mundane air moving through mundane ether going into mundane ear being digested by mundane brain. You know, does that make sense? So what's spiritual is that the chit potency moves along with it. So what actually affects the heart is the chit potency. And it takes the form of these words. Right? Because God, you take God, what's so special about that? Krishna has meaning. But God, what does that mean? Supreme. You know what I'm saying? In English you say, okay, this combination of sounds means this concept. So the word itself is only carrying the concept. So the word itself also will carry the spiritual potency if it's connected by parampara. Does that make sense? Yeah. Third one, if both are qualified, the hearer and speaker, then you'll get the good result. You'll easily understand. So you want to make sure you're qualified. And so that's the first one, is that's us being qualified. The second one is that the other person should be qualified. That interaction, that makes for the understanding. Right? You have a qualified hearer and a qualified listener, but they're not in the same place. So it is the action of hearing and chanting that actually makes it work. Parikshit Maharaj became perfect by hearing, Sukadev by speaking. Right? They're already perfect, but they become more perfect by that process. They perfect their perfection. Does that make sense? Fourth, that by hearing the spiritual subject matter, we'll be attracted away from the material world. Does that make sense? Because the soul must have taste, must have activity, must be doing something that they feel is worthwhile. In other words, something that creates a relationship, that interaction is going on, that is valuable to them. That's the way they are. They have to have it. Now, if we don't know Krishna, we'll take it from the material energy. So by hearing about Krishna, everything that we're looking for is there in him and in his pastimes with the devotees. So slowly, slowly, by hearing that, we become purified. By hearing that, we become attracted. By hearing that, we compare to what's going on here and seeing, hey, it doesn't quite... It's not actually what I'm looking for. Does that make sense? Like that. And then the last point is because of the shortness of Kali Yuga, then we must accept the
shortness of life.
Yeah, shortness of life.
Yeah, Kali Yuga is also short, but
life's shorter. Because of the shortness of life, we should take it seriously to take advantage of the bona fide spiritual master and follow that process. Right? And that process should be the process as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're saying that it should come in the line of Vyasadeva and within that of the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should take it seriously and take it up. So you have yourselves qualified in the first verse. The senior Vaishnavas qualified in the second. We interact with them in the third. By that, the fourth will be attracted out of here. But the fifth is we have to take it seriously. We must be fixed, right? Because otherwise you have Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. So those are accomplished in the first, you know, those are being accomplished by the first four. But Bhajana Kriya means we take it seriously, we commit ourselves to the process. So that's this fifth one. Okay? Is it any other questions on this section? Or yes, sir.
Actually, this is the section before. I couldn't understand why verse 13 is not included as one of the questions.
Verse 13.
Yeah. Please explain to us those teachings about it, like in the chat, about the personality of Godhead and the incarnation.
Yeah. So the incarnation part is what Maharaj was mentioning yesterday is that you have six questions, but the question is the easiest thing would be go to grammar. In grammar, you have six kinds of nouns, but they're all held together by the verb. The subject and object are connected by the verb. The purpose or the result is connected by using the verb. The place is, you know, connected. The verb connects you back to the place, or like that. So, hearing the instructions of the authorities, of the acharyas, that's the verb. So all these six questions will come to us through relating the histories given by the acharyas. So in the six questions, it has the six questions plus the medium through where we're going to hear it. So that aspect that we want to hear about that, tell us about those, that's where we're going to hear, because we see that all the pastimes, all the incarnations, all the creation is all coming through someone talking to somebody. Here is Sukadeva to, I mean Sutta to.
These five points that you were just discussing are all about hearing.
Yeah, that's true.
You see?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a good point.
Part 1-2 says, along with the six questions, first kind of five conditions essential for proper understanding the Bhagavatam. Unless these five conditions are accepted, then the inquiry represented by the six questions will come to no fruit.
Mm, okay.
So without what verse 13 expresses, the other six questions, you'll never be able to understand them.
So it's the meaning.
Actually, verse 13 is more fundamental than even the six questions.
But what he's asking about is the incarnation part. He's talking about the incarnation part.
It says, I guess he's curious because you've changed 4 to 3 with the three questions. But verse 13 says we're eager to hear about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations.
Yeah.
Please explain to us these teachings imparted by previous
masters.
So I was curious why that wasn't.
Because of Prabhupada's purport.
Yeah, in the purport.
Prabhupada's purport only stresses the hearing.
Hearing, yeah. Also, you'll see in that part, he's saying, we want to hear. It's not exactly a question. It's saying that we are ready to hear, and we want to hear what the acharyas have said. So it kind of sets up it's basically establishing this first point that we are ready to hear. You know, the qualifications, point one, like that. And, you know, point three and point four is we know it's great with who we're. So they're expressing their qualification like that. So that's the. But 13 is most essential because of that. It's actually the crux of. Means, like we said, you have the invocation and you have the qualification to hear. So the 13th actually establishes that. You'll also see is that when they talk about, they glorify. Sutta Goswami, because he's called, he's heard from his teachers. They make the same point. So they're saying, you're qualified, and we're eager to hear, so this will work. And then Sutta Goswami, then the second chapter, he will, when he starts speaking, he'll talk about Sukadev. And then he will say how he has heard from Vyasa and his qualifications. So the qualifications of the hearer and the speaker are brought out in that eagerness. So it's actually the real crux for us. Because the pastimes, if it's not from the bona fide source or from the acharyas, and we're not qualified, it won't work. As Prahlad Prabhu was saying yesterday, he mentioned about the academics can study. Gobindasarup was telling me that he had heard of an amusing situation because he moves in those academic circles. And he was hearing about how one of the academics was talking, because some of them are very intrigued by the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature because it's so poetic, at the same time so complex, you know, high-grade Sanskrit and such subtle points. So for an academic, that's very intriguing. So there are academics who study Jiva Goswami Satsa and Dharmas like that. And he was saying that he had heard of one situation where there's a bunch of these academics down at the pub drinking beer, and they're, you know, discussing over, you know, do you think Jiva Goswami meant by this word this or that, or do you think, what's your opinion? And so means it's intriguing for their intelligence, but they won't actually understand Krishna, they won't be attracted out of the material world, they won't situate themselves in their original relationship. Is that okay?
Yeah. Another point is that this verse 13, verse 13 may be included here. It means as part of question 3, because in question 12, which we count as question 3, verse 12, which we count as question 3. The sages ask, tell why Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared. So that's his incarnation, but he is a source of all incarnations. So therefore, my understanding is that 13 and 12 are inseparable. Because when you talk about Krishna, you're talking about all incarnations. So one leads to the other. So the incarnation part is already covered when they ask, tell why Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, appeared. And then 13 is stressing the point about hearing from the acharyas. We want to hear about this from the proper sources.
I would also think another one that might make it more clear is, you do this in some other places, is many times one question actually spends many verses. They'll give background about it and this and that. Like I think the one about describe the Lord's incarnations. They say, who would not like to hear, and this and that. It expands like 5 or 6 verses. So it might be good is also put that it's over these verses, but the, you know, crux of it is in this verse. Because 13 then also then would connect into this question 5.
Yeah.
You know?
Next time around.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying is that it makes it more, it covers those fine points. Like that. Okay. Anything else on the qualification? Yes.
Not on the qualification, on the invocation.
Okay, on the invocation. Okay.
I found that the invocation also contains Samanda Abhideya Prayojan. The first verse, Janmadi Sriyatam. The second, Shushruvi Tatskanat, hearing. And the third one talks about Rasa.
Yes.
Which is then basically.
Yeah. Means the invocation gives that. Means what is the subject matter? And who are the qualified students? That's your sambandha. Your process is your abhideya. So it's here through hearing about the Lord's glories, because the Lord has been established as the deity. And then the last one is what the goal, what you'll receive from that. You will taste nectar and you will establish yourself in pure devotional service. Like that. So that's actually, we didn't stress on it so much because the one of our preliminary courses to establish Samanda Abhideya and Prayojana, that's still being put together. Because at one point there'll be an establishment of Samanda Abhideya Prayojana, and what is the basic grammatical structure of language, you know, for, just like we were explaining to Murari Prabhu about the 13th verse, is that it's the verb in the The questions of the nouns is because grammatical explanation is very solid. And the third is the nyaya, the logic. So when those three are put together, that's called anvikshiki. Anvikshiki. Anvikshiki means your philosophy with the logic. And in logic, you use both nyaya and grammar to establish a point. Like understand and establish. So when that's there.
One of the subject matters Lord Brahma teaches.
Yeah, Lord Brahma. So this will be there, and then once we put that in, then we'll see much more example and emphasis on that. But it'll come up as we go through, like that. The devotees will, just by association, learn it, the Sambandha Abhidhaya Prayojana. Like that. Okay, on that? Yeah? Okay, then on the questions, then we have these questions. So they set the foundation for the whole Bhagavatam. So then, in here, then we see is that you're trying to get what is the ultimate, what's the best thing that mankind can achieve, right? Then it's the scriptures, what is the most essential point they're giving, right? So actually these two questions are very similar. One is what you're going to achieve, and the other is explaining that and how you're going to get there. Then the third, fourth, and fifth are all about the Lord. Now in here it's interesting also to note that there are three aspects of Godhead. Like in Panchatattva, you have the original Lord, you have His expansion, and you have His incarnation. Right? So there's a difference. Swayam is Krishna. Then you have expansion as Balaram, who expands as all the Vishnumurtis. Then expanded from Balaram is the Purusha avatars. Right? So there are different moods. Krishna, he is the enjoyer. The Vaikuntha Vishnu, he is enjoyer plus servant of Krishna. He is Ashray and Vishay. And the Purusha avatars, and the mentality of Vaikuntha is, I am God. Right? But in the material manifestation of the Purusha avatars, then besides being God, I'm the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer. Does that make sense? So it's three different manifestations of Godhead. So we see in question three, then that is Swayam. Right? Because we're always relating here to Deva, because you can say, but no, but then that's Dwarka Krishna, but Krishna took birth in Braj, but that's a hidden fact. Krishna, like that. Then the fourth is the fourth one is then the Purusha avatars and the whole creation. And then the fifth is the incarnations, would be all the Vishnumurtis. So in other words, the question three is, you know, is Krishna. Question four is Balaram, and question five is Advaitacharya. Does that make sense? Excuse me, the other way around. Excuse me, four is Advaitacharya, five is Balaram. That makes sense? Or our first one is Chaitanya, second one is Advaita, third one is Chaitanya, fourth one is Advaita, fifth one is Nityananda. Does that make some sense? Because these three questions, because it looks like it's the same. Krishna took birth, incarnations means they appeared, and the wonderful deeds of doing, there's some slight difference because it's three different actually manifestations of Krishna's personality. Does that make sense? So that's there. Then, where is the religion gone? Because now Krishna is gone. Another because Krishna...
To be clear, so you say question four is Advaitacharya.
Yeah, because that's the Purusha avatars. So they maintain, destroy, and create. So you have Vishnu.
Yeah, but we have, according to Prabhupada's purport, we've reversed, if you remember. So question 5, 1118, tell us of the acts of Lord performing in relationship to creating this material world.
Mm-hmm. I'm just related to the questions, how it's...
Oh, just...
I'm just saying in general the questions. I'm not saying that the...
Yeah, okay.
That's all. Because these questions are generic.
Yeah.
And it's like Maripu was pointing out, is sometimes part of one question is included in
yes.
another one. And this, so they're interrelated.
Yeah.
You can't really separate them. Because
yeah.
the ultimate benefit is Krishna. The essence of the scriptures is Krishna. Krishna is the one taking birth. Krishna is the one who's incarnating.
Yeah.
Krishna is the one creating, maintaining. Krishna is religion. So where's it gone? So he's come as Bhagavatam, which is Krishna. So it's all... Does that make sense? But it's various aspects, because Krishna is unlimited, so then various ways of vichar, so that we can discuss and keep and be absorbed.
Yeah.
Like that. Another aspect that was brought up by Bhagisha Prabhu is that as a Purana, it must have five... we'll give this, I think, handout on Monday. It must have five lakshanas, or five aspects. It must tell about the creation. It must tell about... It means Krishna's creation, the primary creation. It must tell about Brahma's creation and the disillusion and recreation. It must talk about the Prajapatis. It must talk about the Manus, and it must talk about the kings of the Sun and Moon dynasty. Then it's called a Purana. You know, just like we say it's poetry, it's because things rhyme, or it follows a particular pattern. Right? So it's a Purana because it has those five. So in here we see that all those five are contained within questions 3, 4, and 5. Like that. And the thing of the kings, because kings are generally the ones that establish religion, that's why we hear about them, the Brahmins and the kings. So there's alluded partly in 6. But they want to know where that is, because it's explained through hearing the pastimes of the great kings and that, and the interaction with the Brahmins, by what the Acharyas tell. At the same time, as we see this first and second point, gives the opening for expanding it as the 10 points of the Bhagavatam, which will come up when we get to the second canto. Because in there, a Mahapuran goes beyond just the general histories into actually what's the ultimate goal of life and the various aspects of that. So the devotional side comes out. That makes them the Mahapuran. So these 6 questions also give rise to establishing it as a Purana and establishing it as a Mahapurana. Is that okay?
Here? Maybe for the benefit of everyone, you should repeat those 5.
Okay, yeah. 5 we're going to mention now. The first one is Sarga, which means that it's the primary creation. That's Krishna's creation. That means where he creates all the elements and creates all the concepts of the species of life and the heaven, you know, the 3 planetary systems, good, bad, and Varnashram. All these things he's already created. The potency of them. His energies are there as the universal form. Then Brahma, through his austerities and his meditation, then he is able to then take that energy and through expanding, he makes his sons who then expand, and then you have 21 Prajapatis. They expand all the species of life and fill up the universe. So Prabhupada gives the example that Brahma is an engineer. He's not the creator. He's a creator in one sense, but actually Krishna's creator means the engineer puts together the bricks and the sand and the cement and the everything that you build the building out of, but he didn't create the bricks and that. Somebody else. So
this is called Visarga.
Yeah, that's called Visarga. Then you have the next section is the Prajapatis. Their histories, because they create all living entities. Like that. What's, you know, the Sanskrit? That? I don't remember. We'll give it out on Monday. Then that's on the Prajapatis. Who had which kids and the history, because all history starts there. You have 21 Prajapatis. They are the heads of the Gotras. So in India you've heard of people being in Gotras. That means they can trace their family lineage back to one of the 21 Prajapatis. Like that. Pretty far out. So then,
all the people in India?
Huh?
The
general generic thing is that anybody outside who doesn't know, you know, then they can comfortably say that they're coming in Kasyapa's line, because through Dana and Diti, all the demons were born, so we can generally trace.
Yeah,
the Dites isn't done it. We can generally trace ourselves back comfortably, at least through that.
Japa is a Prajapati.
Yeah, he's a Prajapati. He's one of the main.
That's Amen.
Yeah, he's our man. But generally, as devotees, we accept what's called a Chutta Gotra, because the ultimate Prajapati, the 21, come from Brahma. Brahma comes from Krishna, the Chutta. So when one becomes a Vaishnav, or let's see, a Vaishnav. It's so funny in English. You're trying to say a Vaishnav, you say a Vaishnav. When you become a Vaishnav, you're going, wait a minute, no, we're supposed to become Vaishnav, not a Vaishnav. So when you come to the platform of practicing Vaishnavism, then one accepts Achyuta Gotra, that's one's real Gotra, that we are in the line of Achyuta, who's infallible, so we're in that line. But for social purposes, if one does have Gotras and one's socializing in family circles and have Gotras, then Gotra is taken into consideration, that this Gotra marries that Gotra and all those, if one has. And if one doesn't, then, hey, Kasyapa, it all works. Then the Manus are the fourth one, because they're the ones that establish for humankind how to behave, how to act. They set the rules in that, so they're very, very important. Varnashram is established in human society through Manu. That's why Manu Samhita is the Dharma Shastra, like that. Because it refers to three Manus. Manu means Swayambhuva, who's the original Manu. It's also the teachings that the present Manu, Vaivasvata, will give to humankind. But Brahma is the first Manu, because expands his kids. But the original Swayambhu, like that, because they're all Swayambhu. You have Swayambhuva Manu. But Brahma is also Swayambhu, because he's just appeared. Swayambhuva Manu also just appeared. Brahma doesn't know where he came from. And Krishna is Swayambhu, he is unborn. Yeah. So it refers to all of them.
And another aspect of Manu, which actually comes out, because this is also one of the 10 subject matters, is that the time spans of the universe, within the universe, are all based, like you said, Tama is the first Manu, so he has his day and night, and then there are the Manvataras. Mm-hmm. So the basic is the basic clockwork standard of the universe.
Yeah, that's right. Really interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because then they describe in Manu Samhita, they don't describe time until they get to the Manus, because the Manu works within his time frame. But smaller than him is the human time, but bigger than him is Brahma's time. So it's always the middle path. You know, it's always, you know, it's that you don't take Brahmas or the humans, you take Manus, and then time is explained out of there. Like that. And then the kings are who then take it up and establish it day to day in human society. So then they become important.
Yeah. These Manus, they have a very long lifespan, even longer than people living in Satyuga, because there's 71 Chaturyugas in. So is he a Jiva or is he just some
Jivas? Yeah, they're all Jivas. Everybody in the universe except for the, you know, Vishnu, Murtis, or Shiva is all Jivas. Just that they're imbued with that. Like that. Because longer than them live like those from the Satya Loka, Janatapa Satya and Mahar Lokas. They live longer, or at least that long, if not longer. Like that. That's a general time frame. That's 71 Yugas. Is how long all the main posts in the universe are in. Indra's in for that much time. So Indra, when the Manu changes, Indra changes, Yamaraj changes, Varuna, Agni, Vayu, you know, all the, you know, main positions, they all change at that time, and a new Jiva takes it up. But it's the same kind of mentality in that, so basically their activities are always going to be the same. Like the Indras that are there, they're not all the same Indra. But every universe, Indra does something that he gets 1,000 eyes on his body. Like that. You know, and then, other than this one, a previous one, got it by when the incarnation Tilotama, mm-hmm. when Brahma made Tilotama to right. get these two demons. I think it was Upa, what's it? Sunda and Upasunda. Like that, he took a drop of beauty from everything that's beautiful in the universe and put it all together in one place and made Tilotama. So she got the order of Brahma because she's serving the demigods, so naturally after getting the order she circumambulated the demigods. So as she was walking around, then she was so beautiful, Indra wanted to keep looking, but he didn't want to just, you know, gawk at her. So then he just manifested eyes all over his body as she walked around. So that way he got 1,000 eyes. And I think Shiva then manifested all the heads around, and even I think I was told that Brahma at that time also, you know, so like that. So they're being cool, you know. It's like nowadays you got to wear those wraparound dark glasses, you know, but you know, so you're looking, but you know, it's like that. But they didn't. They just make another head on this side. So like that, it was.
And our relationship with our mother, our relationship with
heaven,
because the sky woman, the human beings could approach him. He was the king of this planet.
Yeah.
But our Manu, we live in his Manvantara, we don't seem to have any relationship with him.
We have relationship Siksha. Because the real Vedic initiation is Siksha. The Vedic initiation is Upanayanam. But it's actually a Siksha initiation. It's technically not a Diksha initiation. You're initiated into the Shrauta Yagyas. So after you have Upanayanam and you graduate, then you can be initiated into Shrauta Yagyas and those, you know, all big Ashrameda and all those big things like that. Then you become a Shrotriya. Like that. But it's not as such. It's instruction. So actually the inherent point of the Vedic literature is committing yourself to hearing instruction from somebody or a group of somebodies. You know? Does that make sense? Then in the Pancharatra, it gives the two, because you're getting mantras and that, and you're connected to things. Then you have the Diksha aspect, but its working principle is actually the Siksha. Without the Siksha, the Diksha doesn't have any meaning. And the Bhagavat also is just Siksha, like that. So, but that's Siksha, no ritual. Vedic is Siksha with ritual. And then Pancharatra is Siksha without ritual and Diksha with ritual. So it spans the two. It connects the Vedic to the transcendental, the Pancharatra.
Does anybody know where he resides?
I'm not sure. It's one of those things we can, you know, look up. And the fifth subject is the kings. So the kings are the ones that live here with us and establish the religious principles and all that, at least up to the first 28 generations into Kali Yuga.
So wait, creation,
after that it's kind of...
Sarga, Visarga, Manus...
No, the Prajapatis.
Oh, Prajapatis,
Manus, and then the kings.
So Prajapatis is number three.
Yeah, Prajapatis 3. Because it's just going in order. Krishna's creation, then comes Brahma, then comes the Prajapatis. They expand as the Manus, and then you get the kings. So a Purana must have these subjects, and the Bhagavatam will follow also these. So you'll get all these five subjects explained by the Acharyas, and in through the medium of these five subjects, through the Acharyas, then you're going to get the description of these six questions that actually will be expanded into 10 subject matters. So that's why I said that the Bhagavatam is the mature, how you say, Vyasadeva wrote it in his maturity, because such a complex but sweet Vedic literature has never been composed. So he could only do that after, in his maturity. Like that. Okay. Then we can look at the details of the six, because even though they're answered later, then they basically, it's covered here. Okay. Question one. What is the absolute and ultimate good, Shreya, for people in general? Answer. So this is from the second chapter. After describing that devotional service to Sri Krishna was the essence of the scriptures,
Sutta explains that the ultimate benefit for people in general is to become free from material bondage and develop love of God through devotional service offered only to Krishna or his plenary parts. Right? Like that. So that's why the two go together, because Krishna is the essence, and then he is the worshipable deity, and he is the ultimate benefit and goal. Question 2. Throughout the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, and especially in Srimad Bhagavatam 1267, continue on to text 28, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is confirmed as the only subject of worship, and establishing one's lost relationship with him in love and service through devotional service is proclaimed as the sum and substance of the Vedic literature. So the two are very close. They're just two different aspects of the same thing. Because ultimately there's only Krishna. There's nothing else. But it's which aspect? Krishna's supremacy or Krishna's opulences or Krishna's creation or destruction or that, his interaction with the devotees or how he maintains or... Unlimited subject. Excuse me. Question 3. Tell why Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared. Answer. This question is answered in 1234. To reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness.
Therefore, this school.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Like that. School may be in goodness, we're working on everybody else, but and then Maharaj points out, in addition, this question is answered in 1835, 9461, 10848 through 50, and 103337. You know, so in other words, this shows how the questions in one place, but the answers continue throughout. You know, and as time goes, we'll probably have more and more of these connections. Yeah. Just as we go through, you know, it'll just be. Yeah, then we can see that it's... So as we go, it won't be as much, I think, in the first canto, but I think starting with the second, though there's some reference, that from both sides, the question is asked here, then is answered later. And here we've given the reference here. But now when you get to these points here, it will also refer back, so you get that sangati, the connection. So I think in the first and part of the second, generally, it's when you get to where it's in the future. I mean, the later chapters, it refers back. But in as time goes, we'll start to put it so it goes both ways. Okay.
Yeah, you'll be reminded.
Yeah, being reminded.
That this
question came up.
This verse is actually an answer to question 73. And then you have to go back and look. Where, oh, question 73.
Okay,
oh,
that's, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just an interest. Now you're on the fifth canto. How many question number are you on?
138.
138.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's.
Yeah. So here's six.
Not even halfway through.
But then, the questions as they go, there's up to, you know, up the fifth canto, it's 138 questions have already been asked by
fifth canto part one.
By various persons and answers. So some are bigger, and some are smaller. Okay, question 4. Describe the activities of the incarnations of the Lord. The Lord's incarnations are described in chapter 3 of the first canto. More detailed descriptions of the incarnations are recounted throughout the remainder of the Bhagavatam. Yeah. So the third canto gives, third chapter gives like the essence. Like an example would be Narad Muni. His mission is to establish devotional service performed without fruitive desire, naishkarmya, and to establish pancharatra. Right? Then all of his other pastimes make sense because he'll always be doing it. So each avatar has a specific point that goes along with everything. So that's in the third chapter, you get what that is. So then it makes sense when you hear later the pastimes, you know why they act in that way or what's their purpose, if there's any seeming confusion. And then, fifth, tell us the acts of the Lord performs in relationship to creating the material world. This question is answered in 1.2.30.33, when the Bhagavatam explains how Vasudeva creates the material substance and enters into it as the Purusha incarnations. In addition, cantos 3 and 4 relate the creation of the universe and its population by all species. Right? So that would also take care of the Prajapatis, because the species are all the... Creation will be Krishna, Brahma, and Prajapatis. Yeah.
And
Manus start also.
Yeah, and Canto... What does it say? The Canto 3 and 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, so fourth canto, also the
kings. All the Manus coming.
Yeah, Manus.
And kings, you also kings start getting kings.
Also. There too. Fifth canto is more the kings.
More than the kings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are Manus Brahmanas or Kshatriyas?
The Kshatriyas. Yeah, the Kshatriyas. The sages are the Brahmins, you know, like you have many of the, most of the Prajapatis, I think, are all Brahmins, like that. Though Daksha, I'm not sure. Yeah, like that. But with the Manus, they actually get it done, like that. It mentions in Manu Samhita that the Kshatriyas come from the Brahmins, but the Brahmins can't function without the Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas can't function without the Brahmins. They're interdependent. Separate from that, then you have the Vaishya Shudras, because they're, but the two of them are back actually one entity, just different aspects. One is more on the Shastra, one is more practically applying it, like that. Like that.
Yeah, fourth canto, kings begins here because there's Uttanapada and Dhruva.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
That's towards the end.
Okay, and then last question. Where have religious principles gone after Krishna's disappearance from this planet? Answer. Sutta Goswami answers this question in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.43 by declaring, this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light in this Purana. Okay, so that concludes then the first chapter. So tomorrow then we'll go on to the second, because it's basically short, because everything, all the questions are answered here, but there's some very essential points on the devotional process there. And also then Maharaj will explain tomorrow more about registering for the course, how the course is going to function. We're also going to have, as part of the workshop, because here's opening, so we're doing basically all of it now, but starting from Tuesday, then those who are registered students, the full registered students, then on a rotating basis will take a chapter for making the presentation. So they'll make the initial, like, 5-minute, 10-minute, whatever they feel is the important points, the presentation. Then after that, then we'll discuss, and then it will be open for discussion. So that way, then, everybody gets to focus, because when you study something, it can tend to remain theoretical, but if you have to present it, then it takes on a whole different kind of element. So that will be part of the course. So
yeah.
That will be...
this is a workshop.
Yeah, so it'll be decided, I think. I mean, we'll take volunteers tomorrow after the class who wants to start from Tuesday with the fourth chapter. So we'll do the first three. So tomorrow will be second, Monday will be third. But starting from Tuesday, the fourth chapter, then the students will start to make the initial presentation.
Just 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes is enough.
It means you come up here and you speak on that chapter.
Yeah, just as you understand it, it's just natural. Because the whole point of this is not for erudition, this is not for impressive, you know, oratory skills. What it is we're trying to get to the essence and understand the essence so that we can apply it in our life. Naturally, as that matures, the speaking will be poetic, it will be attractive, it will be nice. That's just what happened. And everyone
what we're
has
trying to do here is actually generate the experience of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. This is not an academic course. I personally believe Prabhupada's Bhagavatam is a magical book. It's magic. It transforms your life. Mm-hmm. What we want to try to do here is to experience that.
Okay, so then more detail of that we'll give tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll also be giving out registration forms and other things like that. And Maharaj will give out the weekend.
You have the mission statements. So you should... So everyone should stay. You're going to get
right now from Kashyamishra Prabhu, the mission statement of this school. So this will help you just be oriented to what goes on here. And tomorrow, you're going to get the study guide, you know, just like you got for this week. So you're going to get next week's study guide, so you can read ahead. You're going to get an admission form that you'll fill out over the weekend, and when you come back on Monday, you bring the admission form plus 100 rupees. Now, you may ask, well, wait a minute, this class began in the middle of December. Why are we being asked to pay for a whole month for December when we're only learning 2 weeks? That's because our initial expenses have been more. We've bought more blankets, for example. We've had to repair our printer because it broke just when this class started. And we needed to print so many things that it broke. And Preeti Varlin had to make a special trip to Calcutta. Just came back from yesterday. So because of initial expenses, we're asking for a full month. And then after that, for maintenance of the class, then just each month you'll be asked to pay 100 rupees. So that's what you do on Monday. You'll bring back the admission form plus 100 rupees. You'll get tomorrow your question essay. The question that you write the essay on, or the subject that you write your essay on over the weekend. And you're also going to hand out these five Puranic subjects.
The five, the ten, and what was the last point? Said that there was a third one. But at least the five subject matters and the ten subject matters. So the five of the Purana and the ten of the Mahapurana. Just as a side, you know, for information, for reference.
Yeah. And about this class participation, we'll be asking for, as I said, it'll be voluntary. Those who feel inspired to just make a presentation on a chapter that particularly impressed them, then you'll come up and just speak for 5 minutes. But another thing is, when you write your essays, I will be reading them, and if I become very inspired by someone's essay and see very nice realization, then I will humbly request you to please come up and present your essay. Just shortly.
Just the essence of it, wasn't it?
Yes. Because if it's something that gives realization from which we can all benefit, that's why we're having this class. This is actually sadhu sangha. This is the real purpose. That's what the Bhagavatam is about, and that's what we're trying to have here in this class. So anyway, when we hand these things out tomorrow, it'll even be more clear. But this is like coming attractions. So prepare yourselves.
Will you return the essays that's written, or do they remain?
We'll return them so you can see them. And then after we'll ask if you'll give them back for filing, like that. But
we'll make notes on the essay so you can...
Right, and if there's something more that you want to add to it based on that note, then you write it like on the back or something, and then that will be filed. But you'll get back, see what it is, and be able to make further, if you feel more adjustments or anything, and then it'll be filed.
What we write will be on record.
Yes.
On
record. What you write will be on record.
And what is it called? Regular assessment.
Continuous assessment.
Continuous assessment.
So part of the grade is the continuous assessment. So the tests and the continuous assessment, participation, like that.
This is a Bhakti Vaibhav.
We're running now. Yeah, it's the Bhakti Vaibhav.
Yeah, first six candles is Bhakti Vaibhav.
And at the speed we can see, it's probably going to take, like before we're saying 3 years, it'll probably take four. You know, 2 years for each.
Like 2 years for Bhakti Vaibhav and 2 years for Bhakti Vedanta.
Yeah. Like go through this chapter. And we're hoping sometime, let's say, after, like from September or something, then we'll start possibly in the evening the Bhakti Shastri. Like that. So for this time around, we're running them, you know, simultaneously. Because it's just the way the development of the courses fell. Okay, sorry.
Hare Krishna! Srimad Bhagavatam, please.